Well, before we get out of this story of the Transfiguration, I would like to turn and read an account from 2 Peter. 2 Peter, the first chapter, beginning in the 12th verse. Now, the reason I want to read this is because this man, Peter, was, of course, one of the principals in this Transfiguration scene. And I thought it very interesting to note his reflections years later, shortly before his death, as he referred back to this, his memory of this Transfiguration. Now, what he's doing in this second chapter of Peter, beginning in the 12th verse, he's talking about making arrangements, making preparations so that the church will always have his teachings in remembrance, even after he dies. So let's notice what he says. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Now, even though you know teachings in the Bible, even though you've studied a passage or a chapter or a book, even though you know it, it's always good to have it brought to your remembrance. So there's two phases of Bible study. One is study to learn new things, things that are new to you. And the other is study to have these things that you've already once learned brought to your remembrance. Because having them brought to your remembrance can bring about an entirely fresh viewpoint. It can bring about renewed vigor, renewed life, renewed zeal for doing the things that the Bible would have you to do. So Peter says it's good to have them in remembrance. Yea, I think it meet, or that is appropriate, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. As long as I'm in this body, Peter says, I think it's appropriate for me to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, we know the way Peter did this was he was miraculously inspired of the Holy Spirit. But he says in verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. There's coming a time, Peter says, when I'm going to have to put this body off. I'll not be able to teach you physically, face to face, with the words from my mouth after I die. So in verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. I'm going to work, Peter says, so that even after I die, you can have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now the question is, how was Peter going to work? How was he going to endeavor to have these things always brought to their remembrance? What preparation, what work was he going to do so that they could always have this brought to remembrance? Well, he's going to tell a little later on what that was. But he now says that we haven't followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw what he did. We witnessed it. So nobody told us, and we're not following somebody's cunningly devised fable, not some good story somebody's made up. But these things actually happened because we witnessed it. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now this is Peter's reference to this Mount of Transfiguration. He says, we saw this. He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came this voice to him from the excellent glory, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Peter says, we saw this. Verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Peter said, we heard this voice while we were with him in the Holy Mount. So we know then, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that Peter now is making reference to the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, you know, we think someday, sometimes, that if we could just hear God speak, or if we could just have the Holy Ghost miraculously inspire us on some things, how wonderful it would be, how much greater our knowledge would be. But that's really not true. And I'm going to show you how that's not true. Because Peter says in the next verse, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now what could be more sure than hearing God speak from heaven and proclaim a message to you? What could be more sure than that? Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy. What could the more sure word be? Well, the more sure word is the written scriptures, which Peter was leaving, as well as the other writers of the New Testament were leaving, so that after their decease, after they died, then they could have these things always brought to their remembrance. That was what Peter meant when he says, I'm going to endeavor that after my decease, you can always have these things in remembrance. Because this more sure word is one that you can come back to and you can read and you can study and you can read it again and again. And 10 years from now, you'll come back in and still read the same way. So that there's no chance of it being forgotten or misapplied and you haven't forgotten how the original statement read. Whereas something given to you by word of mouth, you have to trust that to memory, and you may forget just what it said. So he says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now when prophecy of the Scripture, that is written down prophecy, is given, and the word scripture means something that's written. When written prophecy is given, this is not a private interpretation. That is, it's not a matter of a man sitting down and privately interpreting what God's will is and writing it down for you. That is not what prophecy of the scripture is. It is of no private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the prophecy, even in old time, in the Old Testament, it didn't come by man's will. Man didn't interpret what he thought God's will should have been and wrote it down for you to know in future generations. But no, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly the way the New Testament is written, or was written. Holy men of God, like Peter, spake, or that is, they wrote these things, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that we're not reading some man's private interpretation here. We are reading something that the Holy Ghost has left through the agent or medium of man. And that's why Peter says it's a more sure word of prophecy that you should take heed. This is the thing that is to bring to their remembrance all things that he taught them, even though he was no longer here in the flesh. And of course we know this more sure word of prophecy is our New Testament. It's the same thing that Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians 13 as that which is perfect. He says, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Well, what was that which is in part? He says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. He's talking about miraculous inspiration, the ability to prophesy, if you please. That was to be done away when that which is perfect is come. And, of course, that's the New Testament. Again, we read of this same thing in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, where he says there that they had the gifts, and these gifts were for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And they were to last till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, that unity of the faith, again, is the New Testament. So, Peter is making allusion to the writing of the New Testament when he says that that's going to take the place of him. And of course it did take the place of himself and every other apostle and every other prophet. The New Testament took the place of all of them, so that after the completion of the New Testament, we no longer have any need for miraculous inspiration. And he states that quite plainly in this second chapter of 1 Peter. But now, I just wanted to bring this passage into your memory to show you the thoughts and the reflections that this man Peter had years later, shortly before his death, as he referred back to this transfiguration. Our time has expired. We'll close there. Thank you.